You are listening to the ForceCom Frontline, bringing you to our soldiers on the front lines of readiness.
Hey everyone, welcome to the ForceCom Frontline. I'm Ashley and I'm your host. Today we are joined by members of the Army's parachute team, the Golden Knights. Formed in 1959 as a small team competing against the former Soviet Union skydivers, the Golden Knights are now a well-known icon representing the Army around the world. The Golden Knights are made up of several expert teams and skilled professionals, which includes a demonstration team, tandem team, competition team, aviation detachment, and exhibition team. In addition to representing the Army at sporting events and air shows, they have earned over 3,800 medals in competitions and have achieved 348 world records in the process. Most importantly, the Golden Knights are made up of soldiers who took their passion and turned it into a career in the Army. And I'm not really sure where else you could do something like that. So to help us learn a little bit more about the Army's parachute team, we are joined by Command Sergeant Major Adam Breeding, the Golden Knights Command Sergeant Major, Sergeant First Class Zachary Kreitenstein, and Sergeant First Class Matthew Garner. So thank you all for taking time out of your schedule to talk with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So Sergeant Major, I'll start with you. So I talked a little bit about the Golden Knights and what you all do, but you guys do a ton of stuff and are traveling all the time. So can you just talk about the scope of the Golden Knights and the parachute team and really what you're doing?
Absolutely. So starting in the beginning of the year, from about January to March, is our annual certification cycle. We did that down in Miami. The whole team's gone for about 3 months because the weather's more favorable down there, and who doesn't want to go to Miami?
Fair.
So coming out of that in about mid-March, beginning of April, begins our show season. We hit the air show circuit and then static displays across the country, like you'd mentioned. Okay. Towards the fall, we get into more of the sporting events, more like the college football games, yeah. NFL, hit some baseball games across the summer, things like that. Like you'd mentioned before, we're comprised of two demo teams, our black team and our gold team. We have a competition team that is a competition that does formation skydiving and canopy piloting. And then we also have our GKX, which is our extreme team, which focuses on wingsuiting, base jumping, and your non-conventional skydiving type stuff.
So interesting.
And then, of course, you have our tandem team that does camps across the country to hit centers of influence in local areas, like high school administration, stuff like that, to get after that population of recruits. And then finally, our aviation detachment, which are kind of the unsung heroes. They do everything in the background. They get us to and from where we need to be and make sure we're on target when we need to be there.
So, like, overall, how many people does it take to make this whole thing work?
So it takes a lot. So just on the teams alone traveling, we got about 48 people that comprise all those teams that I mentioned. All together with the headquarters support and then our DA civilians, we have about 97 personnel assigned to the battalion.
Okay.
So it takes the whole entire team to get everybody going where they got to go.
All right. And so Zach and Matt, let's go to you guys. You guys are the ones who are actually doing it, not Sergeant Major. So can you tell us a little bit about yourselves, you know, where you're from, MOS, how long you've been in the Army or the service, and how long you've been part of the Golden Knights? So I'll go, Zach, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Zach Kreitenstein. I'm originally from Orlando, Florida, the Central Florida area. I've been in the Army for about 16 years now. I originally enlisted as an 11 Bravo, and then about 8 years of that, decided to transfer over to psychological operations. I did that for a few years, did some deployments, and then went to the USOC Black Daggers, which is disbanded now, but it's the it was the USOC parachute demonstration team. After that, then I decided to come to GCAS, the Golden Knight Assessment Selection, and after getting selected, psychological operations needed to pull me back for operational needs. So I did a deployment with them and then came back, and this is now my first year on the team.
Okay. What about you, Matt?
Awesome. Well, I'm Matt Garner. I've been on the Golden Knights for about 3 years now. I was actually in a different branch of the service for about 12 years. So the running joke on the team is I've actually been on the Golden Knights longer than I've been in the Army, which is actually factually accurate. While I was in the other branch, the Army was always the standard that we used for training. You know, they would send us to Army Airborne School, Army Air Assault School, Army Pathfinder School. And so throughout my career, I saw that the Army was kind of that golden standard, if you will. I had the opportunity to go to Fort Benning to work as a sister service instructor. While I was there, there was another jump team. Through them, I found out about the Golden Knights, came through assessment and selection for the Golden Knights. Eventually, obviously made it, and then had to do that inter-service transfer. Came in as an infantryman, and I've been on the team now for 3 years and haven't looked back.
So you technically joined the Golden Knights when you were in the other service. How does that work? Like, you can just say, I want to go try out for the Golden Knights and...
Yeah, so I, you know, at the end of the day, the Golden Knights, the Army parachute team, is just another unit in the Army, right?
Yeah.
And so just like every single person here has a unique story, that's the same across the board in the entirety of the Army. Everybody has a story, right? So mine's just kind of, it's kind of my story, but I'm aware that there are very many other stories just like mine across the Army. But yeah, essentially that's exactly what happened. You see an opportunity and you just decide to, you know, give it a try, do your best, and then let kind of fate take the wheel.
Okay. And so I'm going to go back to each of you again to talk about your roles on the team. So, Zach, let's start with you.
So I am a parachute demonstrator. I am on the gold demonstration team. As our major mentioned, we have a black demonstration team and a gold one. So we travel across the country, do different air shows. We're the ones that jump into the stadiums for different sporting events.
Okay.
Our main goal is to connect America's Army with America's people and kind of show them what possibilities they have within the United States Army.
All right. What about you, Matt?
Absolutely. So I'm a tandem instructor and a videographer on our tandem team.
Okay.
And basically, like Sergeant Major said, we go to centers of influence and take specially selected VIPs on tandem parachute jumps.
Okay. So how does that work when you, how do you train? Like, how do you keep up your skill to be able to continue to do tandem jumps if you're not doing it? Does that make sense? Not doing a tandem jump every day. How do you?
Absolutely. So, I'm sure we've all heard the adage, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Right. And that's, really the story here. If I had to summarize being on the Golden Knights in one word, it would be humbling, would be the word I would choose, because you're standing on the shoulders of giants is what we like to say. I hate to sound cliche, but if you're on this team, you kind of eat, sleep, and drink what you do. So you're always going to find us either at the gym, at the wind tunnel, at the drop zone. Just you're never really not training unless you're sleeping.
Okay, that's fair. So we, ForceCom, did a VIP, not really VIP, but a visitor jump a couple weeks ago. And one of the guys who jumped was like a 98-year-old man. And you guys just like set him down on the ground. It was incredible to watch. I don't know how you do that, but it was incredible. And this is to either of you, maybe both of you. So did you know about the Golden Knights before you even joined the Army, before, you know, talking, I don't know, 17 years ago? Did you know the Golden Knights would ever be an option?
So I knew about the Golden Knights before I came into the Army.
Okay.
As far as it being a possible option, never in my wildest dreams thought that it would be. I guess that's one thing that people who are watching this can take on, is it's possible.
Yeah.
And you just have to come to the GCAS Progress Golden Assessment Selection and try out.
Yeah. What about you? Did you have any?
You know, I did not. but if we go back to that story of, you know, everybody has a unique story, right? It's the same thing in the skydiving community. You can find any skydiver and they've got some kind of adverse event that's happened in their life, as will happen to anybody at some point in their life. And for all of us, it was the sport of skydiving that kind of pulled you out of that and kind of breathed new life into you, so to speak.
I like that.
Yeah. So once you find the sport, like in my case, I moved around and found that jump team. Through that jump team, I found out about the Golden Knights, and the process just kind of builds from there.
Okay. How did you start skydiving? I mean, I don't jump out of perfectly good planes, to be honest, so.
So my first skydive was a tandem jump. One of the biggest misconceptions is that you have to do a tandem jump before you get your license in skydiving. That's not necessarily the case. But I did a tandem jump, fell in love with it. And then after I reenlisted for psychological operations, had a pretty decent bonus, and I'm like, that's what I want to do. So I took that, I ran with it, got my license in about a month, and then the rest is history. Just kept going.
All right. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I would kind of echo those comments. So, you know, once you make up your mind that, you know, it's time for something different, something new, you know, you want to challenge those horizons. A lot of times the traditional path, somebody will do a tandem jump. They'll obviously figure out that they like the sport and like that environment. So then you'll continue. You'll do what's called accelerated free fall, AFF, which is where you train to be a solo skydiver. We do have several AFF instructors on the Golden Knights. Occasionally we will do some AFF programs to build those skill sets up to get people up to a licensed skydiver. And I would echo kind of those sentiments that, you know, on the Golden Knights, we kind of are a Swiss Army knife. We can do the demonstrations, we can do the tandem jumps, we can also teach people how to skydive. We've got a variety of different options available to help reach that desired end state. You know?
Okay. Sergeant Major, I'm coming back to you. Are you the anomaly here? Like, do you skydive?
I do, but to answer your question, yeah, I kind of am the anomaly.
Yeah.
My skydiving experience comes from having attended military freefall school, so your basic Army military freefall training. And then with that background, I was selected by the Army to fulfill the position of Sergeant Major.
Got it.
So one of the things about that, though, is I have to humble myself to go to these guys who are the experts and ask, you know, is this the way we should or should not be doing it, or what's the best way we can do this thing? So understanding my limitations with that background is very important for my position.
All right. And so we talked a little bit about training, but I know neither one of you are actually on the competition team, but we were watching a video, and we'll have it in our YouTube video of this, but of them in the sky and doing all these crazy things. Like, maybe Sergeant Major, this is a question for you. How do they train? How do they put all that together?
So it takes a lot of time and experience, and that leads to bringing guys like Zach and Matt onto the team the way that we do. So then when you come out of the team, it's initially a four-year commitment, and it's on a demonstration team for at least your first year, where you fulfill the role as a new guy, which is what Zach is doing now. And that's where you learn the basics of everything that we do as Golden Knights, learn the standards, the discipline that it takes to be here and uphold that high standard and be a good ambassador for the Army to the American public. Once you get through that first 4 years, you can continue to extend for up to a year at a time for a total of 10 years as a demonstrator.
Okay.
Now, what you're talking about is our formation skydiving team. That's our competition team. Once you move to a specialty team like that, or like Matt, the tandem team, you can stay on the team indefinitely for the fact that it takes so much experience and so much training and time is put into you that we can't just let you go.
Yeah.
In order to keep those programs running, we got to keep that experience. We got to keep that knowledge on the team. So they're afforded to stay indefinitely once they get to that point.
Do you have guys doing that?
All the time. We just had an individual retire probably close to 20 years straight just on the team. His entire career was on the team. I think he joined as a PFC and retired out of here as a sergeant first class.
Do you guys have any, is that what your future might look like? Do you know yet?
As long as he's cool with it. I plan on staying here until I'm out. I'm at 16 years and I got like 4 left until I want to retire or I could retire. But if I don't want to, I'll just keep riding it out.
Sure. About you, Matt?
Yeah, I think kind of like we talked about earlier with, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants. Once you make the team, you're kind of, I hate to use the word but you kind of do owe to pay it back to build up that next generation that's coming along. So definitely there's value in staying to maintain that institutional knowledge and not only maintain the institutional knowledge, but expand it, right? That's how we do that, is by keeping people around, keeping that experience around. So as that generation moves out, it's on you to stay in and maintain that same standard that they set for the next generation.
Yeah. But also, you get paid to do something that you love to do. I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Like, is there a but?
Well, like on tandem skydives, you know, whenever you get under canopy and it's quiet and that passenger realizes what they just did, I like to kind of remind them that, you know, you just did a tandem parachute with the Golden Knights, but at the same time, we're under canopy. There's somebody flying an Apache right now, nape of the Earth, or there's somebody in the Army that's working with NASA to become the next astronaut, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, sure, what we do is cool, but there's people doing cool stuff all across the Army all the time.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. I just think that, you know, the Army talks about possibilities all of the time. And so who knew that this would be a possibility, that you could come into the Army and you could skydive? And somebody's going to pay for you to do that and to be the face of the Army and do that. So I think that's pretty cool.
Well, that's one of the great things about the team is everybody has such a robust background coming from all kinds of different MOSs and jobs, you know, coming into the team. So, yes, like you said, we're all parachutists on the team. However, like Zach was saying, he started as an infantryman, became psychological operations. Matt was in a different service, and now he came infantry in his Army. So that shows, like you said, the possibilities that the Army can provide, not just to those already in, but to the American public as a whole.
I know, Zach, you've been on the team for a year and Matt for 3 years. So can you talk about maybe one of your most memorable experiences on the team? And Zach, I'll go to you first.
Sure. So I've jumped joint demonstrations with the Golden Knights before, but as far as being on the team, my most memorable one would probably be this recent trip that we did to California. We went to Southern California area, so we got to jump in San Diego onto an aircraft carrier.
Nice.
And then after that, we jumped into the San Diego Padres. Then went up to Huntington Beach and jumped into Huntington Beach with a massive crowd.
Wow.
The skydiving aspect is a lot of fun, but I think we get the most fun once we actually get on the ground. We interact with the people, talk to them, tell them our stories, they tell us theirs, and we get to, you know, learn about one another. I think that's the funnest part.
You know, though, talking to people is not for everybody. So I find it interesting that, you know, you guys come onto this team and you can actually go out and represent the Army and talk to people, and you're good with that. I mean,
that's part of the selection process. I mean, we have a very robust selection process. It's 8 to 12 weeks long.
Oh, wow.
And we look at every single aspect that you possibly can, because we travel with each other. How many days of the year? Like,
they're on the road at least 220 plus days a year,
so
consistently.
We want to make sure that you're a good teammate. We trust you. Good work ethic. Make sure you can talk to people. Be polite. Interact. Like, if you just sit there and don't say anything, I mean, we need you to talk to people. Engage. So we look at every possible aspect, and that's the people that we want to come to the team. We want to build upon that, have what we have as a foundation, and then expand the team and make it better than what it was before.
All right. What about you?
Most memorable jump?
Yeah.
So I would say it would be over the Jersey City boardwalk. Just because usually the weather's really good. You're flying over the Jersey City boardwalk. But in particular, I landed last time I jumped there. And, you know, we have a saying on the demonstration teams, which is where we all come from, because that's kind of your foundational layer, that jumping in is just kind of your way to work. And then your real work starts when you hit the ground, you know, interacting with the American public. And so I was packing up my parachute after that jump, and this kid came up to help me pack, and come to find out he had specifically sought me out because he remembered me from last year.
Oh, wow.
And so whenever you have that kind of moment where you connect the dots, where there's, you know,
that's really cool.
A kid that remembers you from the year prior, you start to realize, you know, kind of the impact that you're having.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about y'all traveling a lot. How do you not get sick of each other? Because I've worked with this guy before, and it doesn't take much. But how do you balance family, friends, a life outside of this?
It's an interesting aspect. I mean, it's not for a lot of people. Many of the guys on the team are married, have kids. It's probably not as easy on them, but I'm a single guy, no kids, so a job like this is ideal. I get to travel everywhere. I get to jump into places, meet people.
Yeah.
But it can be difficult, but that's why we bring the people that we like to the team, so we can get along and, you know, help build that camaraderie and coercion.
Sergeant Major, what do you guys do to build that unit cohesion and make sure, you know, people aren't, you know, going at each other's throats?
Well, the base Army answer is, you know, of course, we have an FRG that we have stand up to help with the families as the guys are on the road and things like that. But like Zach was mentioning, when we do the selection process, we evaluate all those things. You know, how are you as a teammate? How do you interact with the public? How are you just on your own getting after the things that we need you to get after? And all that comes into play. And these guys, they form a really close, tight bond and become really, really good friends. And I would say it goes beyond friends. They become family. I'm very fortunate that I get to kind of bounce around to all the teams and see them on the road and just the way that they operate. And I tell them every time, they never cease to amaze me on how professional, how respectful they are, not just to each other, but to the American public as a whole. It's phenomenal. And I will never get tired of that. These guys are a great image for the Army. And I could not ask for a better role and to be part of a better team than this.
So I'm going to stick with you, Sergeant Major. So we've talked a little bit about this selection process, but can you, you know, do you take amateurs? Like, what do you do if you want to join the parachute team?
I mean, if you're interested, we'll get you a packet. We'll bring you to the team. But yes, we do take amateurs. For GCAS, what we do is you have to have a minimum of 100 skydives, and then you fill out the application for GCAS. You submit your application to the operations center, and they get it all together and put it together for us. And then we have the teams evaluate it just based on paper. What do you look like? Do we think you're someone we want to bring? Once we determine who we're going to bring, we'll bring those people to GCAS. Those are people that are already serving, have 100 skydives, you know, doing it on their own. Bring those to GCAS. Two of the programs that we're trying to initiate now are what we call our Green Platoon. and then our street deceit. So Green Platoon is for those that are in the service already, have zero skydiving experience, but think that they want to come to the team. So they fill out a packet similar to what they would for GCAS. We assess them, and then we'd bring them to the team. And like Matt was saying, we would use our AFFIs to train them up to 100 skydives.
You're using a lot of acronyms.
Yeah, so AFFI is our Accelerated Free Fall Instructor.
Okay.
To train these people up to get to 100 skydives so that they could apply and go through the next assessment selection. The other program we have is Street Deceit. So these guys go out to competitions or sites or drop zones all the time, and we run into individuals who skydive in the civilian side and say, man, I would love to do this for the Army, but I don't want to join the Army. And they're like, well, what if you joined the Army and came straight to the team to be a demonstrator or a tandem instructor? So then we were working on doing that. Same things would apply, except they were a little more stringent background because now they're coming in as a recruit, so a non-prior service recruit to the military to join the Golden Knights and be a member of the team. So there are ways to do it. The last two, like I said, Green Platoon and Street Seat are a little newer, and then GCAS, Golden Knight Assessment Selection, that's the older way, I guess, to do it, the conventional way.
And so
way.
Is there like a specific time of the year where you do the selection, or is it ongoing?
We do it, actually right now we have GCAS going on as we speak. Like Zach said, we do about 8 to 12 weeks. Depending on how they're progressing, we really determine how long it's going to be. 8 weeks minimum. If they need a little bit more time, we'll take it to that full 12 weeks. We bring individuals here TDY from their home stations, and then we put them through selection. And it's a very stringent process of, you know, gauging the right individuals, whether they're going to make it or not. I think so far this year we've already lost 3 candidates, so we're down to 6 of our 9 that we started with. But our cadre do a great job of assessing all the things that we look for, and we're starting to bring in a little bit of the mental aspect as well, testing like the psychological portion of that this year to assist us. So
how do you know you have somebody who can go out and talk to the public? I mean, what do you do in selection to kind of see that?
So I'm going to actually let Zach or Matt answer this because they've gone through selection. Okay. So I know we have had people who are very kind of introverted, and this helps us all. Let them kind of explain that.
So while I went through selection, actually, I went through with Matt back in 2020. And what they'll do is we have a media relations department. Mm-hmm. And while we're jumping, they'll come out randomly on one day, and they'll just grab you on the spot. Let's go do an interview, a mock interview. It's not going to get published anywhere, but it's on the spot while you're out of breath, once you're like exhausted, because that simulates what you actually do in real life. When we jump into shows, you have your adrenaline spiked, you're out of breath, and then somebody may pull you off the side. Hey, I'm with NBC News. Can we do an interview? And you have to be able to, on the spot, just do it. So we kind of do on-the-job training in that aspect.
Okay.
And then build upon that, see what they're weak at, and kind of direct them in the right way.
Okay. Did you want to add anything, Matt?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, like Sergeant Major and Zach have been saying, you know, the GCAS cadre, the group of instructors are usually senior members of the team. So they kind of know what to look for, and they kind of help shape that program to fit the audience. You know, so if they notice that their people, you know, majority of the team is more introverted, or majority of the candidates, excuse me, are more introverted, they'll tailor some training because it's an living, breathing program, right? So you can make some adjustments so that at the end of the day, the Sergeant Major gets the product that he needs.
You know, I consider myself an introvert. Everybody laughs when I say that, but I do. And so I think it's interesting that that's an aspect that y'all actually look at, because it's important to be able to go out and have these conversations with the public and represent the Army, honestly. So it was Matt, I'm sorry. You are a videographer, and so we were looking at some of the clips that we got, and it's amazing what you can get. Do you have like training to do that? Like how do you get those shots?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do a lot of on the job training. Sergeant Major's being very, very humble. He literally is heading some of the best skydivers in the world. I am not including myself in that category. I'm constantly just trying to learn. Some of my teammates that are out work doing stuff right now, they're literally some of the best skydivers in the world. So there's a plethora of knowledge in this organization. You just have to be attentive and seek it out. So we're constantly training, constantly working on that. But yeah, jumping out of an airplane, you know, 2 miles up with different camera varieties on your head, and just constantly, you know, never mind the skydive. You're thinking about where's the shot, where's the angle, where's the lighting.
Yeah.
It's kind of an art form, and it's really cool.
Well, that's why I ask about it, because the shots that you guys get are amazing. And I was never trained in photography, and I'm told to go take pictures, and I mean, they get what they get, really. But your stuff is every shot I've, every video I've seen from the team has just been phenomenal. And we were talking about one that you did, Zach, where you actually had the stick out, and
yep.
Can you describe that a little bit?
So everyone on the team's always trying to find new inventive ways to get good shots, different angles.
Yeah.
One thing that I want to expand upon with what Matt was saying is, like, we have a wide variety of knowledge on the team. So you can go to anyone on the team that you know that they have knowledge of something, ask them, and they will jump through hoops to help you learn what you need to know. That specific angle or that camera shot that you were talking about, I'll take like a 360 and have a chest mount with a stick, so it looks like somebody's filming you right there. That takes away the need under canopy for somebody to be close to you, so you can actually see the person and see what they're doing as if somebody's filming them on the spot.
Yeah, we were watching it in the office, and I was like, how is he doing this? Like, it looks like somebody's filming him. And then you, like, it looked like the earth was round, and I know it is, but there was dimension to it. It was incredible. It was an incredible video. So we're going to run out of time, but I want to go to each of you, Zach and Matt. Is there anything that you just want to mention about your time on the team, joining the team, that you want to mention before we go?
I think the biggest thing, one thing that I didn't think of when I first wanted to come to the team, was that it's possible. A lot of people see something way high up on a pedestal and they're like, not a chance. I'd say take the chance.
Yeah.
Go. Come try out. And that's with anything you want to do. Absolutely. Don't hold back. You miss every single shot that you don't make. So
yeah.
If you have aspirations to come to the team, put a packet in, come try out.
All right.
Yeah, I would echo that. So we have a stanza above the door that goes into the tryout room, and it's I actually have it written in marker on the mirror at my house, so when I wake up, you know, first thing in the morning, I'm getting ready for the day, that's the first thing I read, and it's this chance will never come again. And I think if you kind of live by that credo, you know, it'll do you a lot of good. So if you're thinking about coming, you know, to the Golden Knights, you know, like Zach said, you know, don't wait to put in the packet, do it now.
Yeah.
I do want to end with a question though, Ashley.
Okay.
So we've been talking about skydiving for the last, you know, however long.
Yeah.
Have you jumped with the Golden Knights?
No.
Sergeant Major.
we're working on it. I gotta, you know,
I asked him if you guys could jump for my son's birthday, and he gave me a no. So
she did ask for that. But remember, her and I aren't very tall, so we like to stay close to the ground. So we'll work on it though.
Okay. Don't lump me in with you. So, Sergeant Major, if somebody's interested in going through the selection process, what should they do?
So the easiest way is to go to goarmy.com, and I believe that's transitioned to recruiter.army.mil, so they can get all the information to join the Army. If they go to goarmy.com, there's a way you can navigate to get to joining the Golden Knights, and it gives you the options to fill out your packet to come to Golden Knight Assessment Selection. And once we get the two packets done for the Green Platoon and the Street to Seat, they will also be up there as well. So you click them, download them. It'll send you the links for videos on how to pack the parachutes, and then, of course, it'll give you the documents you need to fill out and then where to submit it to in order to apply.
Okay.
So,
is there anything else? I'll give you a last chance to say something as well. Anything we didn't cover?
No, I think, like they said, I mean, if you want to come to the team, don't hesitate. I mean, we're here. We definitely want to bring the best to the team. Like Matt said, these are some of the best skydivers in the world. So if you're going to do it, you might as well do it with the best and show us what you got. So
I think what you guys do is amazing. I love watching it. I honestly, I'll be honest. The first time I saw you guys jump was at a Woodpeckers game. So it actually was not that long ago, which is a little embarrassing. but I think what you guys do, even with like the tandem and the guests that we have come on, is incredible. And I've seen you guys when they finally get on the ground and going up and hyping them up and tell me how you feel after jumping with the Golden Knights. You really do a lot to make these people feel like they've really done something incredible. And they have, honestly. So thank you all for taking time. Like we said, you all are very busy. So thank you for taking the time to talk with me. And thanks.
Appreciate you having us.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
That's it for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can also find full video episodes of our podcast on YouTube. You can just search for the Force Comm Frontline, and we'll see you next time on the Frontline.